You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You and I can make a difference. Hallelujah. That's what churches really are about, training the saints, training us to make a difference, training us to impact and empower the world. Even our, slogan, as it were, empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. Amen. See, that's what it comes down to. I get empowered every time I get in the gospel, get in the word, get in God's presence, get around you. But I'm empowered for a purpose. You know, I believe in prosperity. I believe God wants to prosper us, but it's prosperity with a purpose. I believe God wants us saved, but saved to serve. I believe He will gift us, but we're gifted to give. Oh, come on now, I'm on a roll. But if you'll think about it, that gives us purpose. That gives, I have no more delight. I have no more pleasure. I get no more joy than when I'm helping others. Amen. No question about it. Sleep good at night. I've had a good day when I've helped somebody. And it's not always a great thing. We think of just great things, going out and, you know, having a revival on the street and getting 100 saved. And sure, we should witness to people and people should be getting saved. But just leading people to Jesus, pointing them to Jesus, living that example, helping them with even menial things. See, little things become great in God's hands. They really do. This is a prayer that we pray in our church every day. When we pray, we start our day. We pray that God causes us to see and not ever forget the reason behind what we do. That whether we're typing on the computer, answering the phone, are you with me, or whatever seemingly menial thing, cleaning the church, whatever we're doing it so that people can come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember I was talking to a guy. You say, I'm preaching. I'm already preaching, so you just get your Bibles, get ready. Turn to Romans 15 if you want to. I was talking to guys out here digging a ditch, and we were putting a water line in from the front of the church all the way back to the gymnasium. And he just happened to mention, he's a Christian from another church. He was over here digging the ditch. And he said, I just feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. I don't feel like I'm doing anything for God. And, you know, I feel like I just don't have any purpose. And he was thinking in terms of course, big ministry and so on and so forth. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, here I am out here digging a ditch and with this machine, putting this pipe in. I said, oh, really? And that's all you're doing. You're just digging a ditch and putting a pipe in. A pipe that's going to carry water out to that gym. That's going to, the water's going to go into all those restrooms in the kitchen out there, that gym out there that people are going to come to and hear about Jesus and get saved, and people are going to miss hell and go to heaven. Go to heaven because you're putting this ditch in and got that water going out to that gym. You don't feel like you're doing anything? He stopped and he says, I guess so. I never thought about it that way. If whatever we're doing is helping people get saved, even the menial things that we do are important, they count. Sometimes we can clean the church and get to think we're not doing anything. Or we can work in the nursery and we're not doing anything. Are you kidding me? Look at the big picture. You know, a man one time walked into this big automotive building place. I don't know. Maybe let's say a car shop. Well, making cars. Not a chop shop, but a car shop. Just keep it clean. So he went in there and he asked this one guy over here who was building alternators. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm building alternators. And went over to this one guy over here that was working on carburetors. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, I build carburetors. And what it was, they were building cars in there, you know, and everybody's doing their part. And he walked up to this one guy over here that was all he was building starters. And he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm building a car. Yeah. See, one of them had the vision and one of them didn't. One of them realized that what he was doing was part of a big thing, big picture here. You know, generally you come to church, you hear the preacher preach, and you think, hey, he's it, man. He's the one. He's doing it, you know. But no, I'm just part of a whole. That's all. I'm part of the body of Christ. And what I do is enhanced and helped by everything else everybody else does. We're all in this thing together. When someone comes down here and gets saved, turns their life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, we all had a piece of that. We had a part of that. Hallelujah. We're making a difference. Are you with me? You witnessing to someone, telling someone about the church, living your life, living holy before God. Are you with me? It all comes down to people getting saved. It's about helping others. Romans 15, found it. Woo! Hallelujah. I'll just shout myself. I tell you what we need. We need a Starbucks in here. I think that would wake everybody up. It'd wake me up. Hallelujah. Romans 15. let's follow along here and just see what it says here. And I gave away some things I'm going to talk about. Saved to serve, you know, and gifted to give. And that's what we're about. I have a purpose. My purpose is to make your life better, not to make your life miserable. Okay? I do not have a calling from God to make you miserable. That is not what I'm ordained to do. And you are called by God to help people. That's what you're called. And lead them to Jesus, obviously, but to encourage people, lift people along life's way. We are lifters. Hallelujah. And ultimately, of course, point them to Jesus. That's the ultimate lift and the ultimate help. Notice in Romans 15, Paul speaking. Of course, he's talking to the church. He's talking to Christians, believers. And he says, I'm reading New King James Version, we then who are strong ought to bear the scruples or the weakness or failings. That's a better word. I don't know why it says scruples here. We then who are weak ought to bear the failings and weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. Everybody say ought to. That's pretty strong ought. Ought is we ought to. He didn't just say we could. He didn't say we should. You know, he said we ought to. We ought to do this. Now, I think we see people in need, and we can easily pass them by, drive right on by. We live in a drive-by society. But God's telling us to get involved with suffering, dying humanity. If God has gifted us, then we're gifted to give. If He saved us, He saved us to serve. You know, we talk about the anointing. We talk about the presence and the power of God on our lives. And even in Luke 4:18, where Jesus is quoting out of Isaiah 61, and He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." When you think about that, He was saying that the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to help people. Amen. Woohoo! So we want the presence of God. We want the anointing of God on our lives, no doubt. But see, there is a purpose to that. Even in prosperity, I heard this the other day, I overheard Terry Myers last week, and he said this, I thought was very good. He was talking about covetousness, not being covetousness. He says, you need to know where your need ends and where your greed begins. Man, it's quiet in here. Does God want to prosper? You better believe He does. There's no question. You cannot get away from the staggering promises in the Bible about God wanting to bless us and prosper us. And I don't believe God wants us to barely get by. I don't believe that's not in the Scripture. God wants us to be blessed, but He wants us to be blessed to be a blessing. You know, nice car, sure, but how many can you have? How many can you drive at one time? Are you with me? I mean, there comes a point where it's for a purpose. You know, we've determined in our church we're going to help people. We're going to give to missions. And as we increase financially, we're going to increase our missions and increase our outreaches. And we can't seem to keep up. The more we give out, the more it comes back in. Because that's the law of God. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's why we have such joy. That's why we have such purpose. Because our purpose is to help people. Yeah. And Jesus in me is in me to make a difference in others' lives. He's already saved me. I'm already saved. And I'm growing spiritually, sure. And I've got a lot I've got a lot to learn. And I've got some growth in me, sure. But it's for others. Hallelujah. Glory. That's what the food bank's all about. That's why we take the time to get on television. It's not about getting on television. We're just on Edgewood and Wills Point. But I run into people all the time that watch those programs. It encourages them. We've had people get saved. We sent a program over to Michigan. Jerry Cox, pastor's up there in Michigan, New Covenant Church up there, and he has a television program. He preempts his and puts our program on there once a month. And if we don't send one, he'll call. And he'll say, hey, I didn't get my DVD this month. So we send it back up there. We've had two men get saved in Jackson, call the church, watching the program, and Chris led them to the Lord back there. Amen. Had one call during one of our services, and Chris led him to the Lord right there on the phone, watching the program. That's what it's about. In fact, we close every program with a prayer, how to be saved. Amen. You know, leading them in a prayer on how to be saved. So it comes down to that. It's not about getting on television. We can care less about that. Why would I want to get on television? The only reason would be to reach people. Sure. Amen. You know, it's not about having a bigger church or competitive with other churches. Thank God for we're not competitive. We thank God for churches in our community. We are pro-church. We're very ecumenical. You know, it's a big word. We're for churches. Thank God for all they do. There's churches in our town that are going to reach people that we won't reach. And for that, we thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. We pray for them daily. Pray for churches. Pray for pastors. And you know, but we have a mission. We have a purpose. And our purpose is to reach people. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can go up down the street and witness it. No, come on. I'm not talking about that. There may be some of you that do that, and some of you have a real strong passion for that. That's great. But everything you do for God is going to make a difference.
Amen.
Things that you do meanly, just seemingly simple things in the church here, make a difference. Yes. People that come out and sack groceries in the food bank make a difference. We've had people get saved in the food bank, food ministry. Hallelujah. But see, you have to be thinking like that. You have to be, why do I live so holy? Why do I choose to live holy? To get marks, you know, on my report card? No. I choose to live holy because it's going to make a difference. People are going to see it. They're going to, and when they get ready, they're going to know who to run to. I want them to know who to call. I want them to know that I really do love God, that I'm really serving. See, I want it to make a difference. It's not about me just being holy. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in us being holy, we miss our whole purpose. Amen. The point of why we do what we do. Amen?
Amen.
And we should come to church to grow, to fellowship, to be a witness for our children's sake, for our grandchildren's sake, for this city's sake, for the sake of the lost. We ought to serve God. Woo! Okay. We ought to bear the weaknesses and the failings and weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. In other words, if we see a need, we ought to meet it. Amen? If we see someone needs help, we ought to help them. We can talk about it, but what are we doing? You know, we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing to make a difference? What are we doing to really help people? And that's something that we can all do in our circle, our world, whatever degree we can to help somebody. Have you helped anybody this week? That's a good question. Have you called anybody? Have you encouraged anybody this week? Have you prayed for anybody this week? Have you made a difference? That's what you ought to be asking yourself. What, and then what can I do to make a difference? How can I help someone? Woo!
Yeah.
All right. So he says this, second verse, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification, to building up. Man, I mean, we talk a lot about what we want, we like, you know, and but we ought to be trying to please our neighbor for their good. What can I do to reach them, to make their life better? Reach out, lead them to Jesus, be a light to them, be a witness to them. You know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Hallelujah. He goes on and says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things are written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I think about even, you know, we are getting ready to go to Hawaii. Honolulu, I want to go there. But we're going to the Big Island. And, you know, we don't understand vacationing from God. That doesn't come into our mind. I mean, wherever we go, we're always serving God. We look for churches to go to even when we're out of town on what we call vacation to rest up. But we don't vacation from God. It just, you know, we started going there, started going to a church, and immediately they asked, found out, you know, we were ministers and wanted us to minister, and so we started ministering there. And now we look forward to going and vacationing and preaching. And,
yeah, sure.
You know, I don't vacation from that. That's who I am. I'm not, you know, I'm still a pastor when I'm there. I'm still a father and I'm still a husband, and all those things don't change.
Amen.
Hello. Why would I vacation from loving God? I just wouldn't. And so we're there to help people while we're there. We're not there just to rest. We do rest, but we're there to make a difference too. Wherever you are, you're there to make a difference.
Yeah.
Wherever you go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing to be like-minded like this, according to Christ Jesus. Let me read this out of the Message translation. This is, Message is kind of like a paraphrase. Stay with me. I'm healed in Jesus' name. The Message translation is not an exact translation word for word. It's a paraphrase, something like the Living Bible, but in my opinion, a lot better. But he says this, Romans 15, 1 through 7. Listen to this. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the trouble, is the way the Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, and you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of His steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever He will do next. Steady and warmly personal God, or dependable, May our dependable, steady, and warmly personal God develop maturity in you. Everybody say maturity. So that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Man, I like that. I think that's good. We have a purpose here. We should exemplify Jesus. You know, Henrietta Mirror said this. She was a Christian educator. She founded Gospel Light. We used to use a lot of their Gospel Light stuff in our Sunday school years ago. And she said, the person who keeps busy helping the one who is below him won't have time to envy the person above him.
Amen.
Amen. So what are you envying someone above you? Start helping those below you. That's what you're for anyway. You're to help those that you can help.
That's right.
I'm not here to help people I can't help. Yeah. I am here to help people I can help. You know, even as a pastor, I don't think about people that I can't minister to. I think about people I can minister to. We spend our time, so much of our time, trying to figure out why we can't do certain things. And all that time, there are things we can do we're not doing. That we miss the whole point. I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. People talk about when they get $1 million, they're going, bless the gospel, you know. Oh, goodness, just give the 10 you got now. Are you with me? Do what you can do now, you know, and then as you're faithful, little God will put you over the much, you know. I realized a long time ago I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I understand that. I like coffee. But, you know, everybody doesn't minister to me either, and that's okay. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. For some reason, I really click with certain people. For some reason, I light their fuse. I mean, it just comes alive, and they get stirred up and sense the presence of God, and God, they're moved toward God, toward holiness and serving God. And I think that's awesome. But I don't have that effect on everybody. God didn't call me, you know, to minister to every single person. But there's some people that I really do minister to, and that's okay.
Amen.
So I don't take it real personally, you know, when people, for some reason, don't get something out of the message or out of the church, and they go to other churches. Thank God for other churches. Man, go somewhere where you can get ministered to.
That's right.
Go somewhere where you can serve God and join up and hook up.
That's right.
And don't take everything so personally. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
We got over you a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
Well, you hear what I'm saying. I mean, you know, we often take things so personally. Listen, everybody doesn't minister to me. I don't minister to everybody. But that doesn't leave me or get me off the hook. I am supposed to minister to those I can. I'm supposed to do what I can to everyone I can, every way I can. And some of that seed will produce, some won't. But you know what? I've got to get on with the gospel, the business of doing the word. Amen?
Amen.
I'm here. My strength is for service, not for status. And I should be asking, how can I help? That's what I should be asking myself. You should end your day thinking you've blessed someone, you've helped someone, you've led someone closer to the Lord or to the Lord, if that's the case. Prayed for someone, lifted someone, encouraged someone, helped somebody.
Yeah.
Got involved. Get your life. See, get in a habit of just reaching out and helping people. Sometimes we get so, we've got to outgrow the ingrown church.
Amen.
Isn't that right? I mean, because we become homebodies. I know I can be that real easy. Listen, you give me a stack of books and just leave me alone. I could go off in a monastery somewhere and just be a monk, you know, and be absolutely useless. But I'd be so smart. Oh, man. I know so much. I'll just be useless. God didn't call us to go off on a mountain somewhere. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Spend our time in a monastery. And God bless Catholics, but I tell you what, they missed it when they got in that monastery thing. They missed it. Okay, vow of silence. So come on. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel is what the Bible says.
Amen.
God bless Catholics. I'm not against Catholics. I'm just talking about some of those things. There's probably things in our church I'm against, so stay with it. We love Catholics, and we love people that love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you're a Christian, you're a believer, and we're for you. We're not against you. But God called us to make a difference. He called us to speak up. He called us to help. And you say, well, man, I ain't got anything. Well, find somebody that's got less than you do. Help them. Yeah, but I got so many problems. Find somebody that's got more problems than you do and help them. You can make a difference. You can do something. So you got to get out of yourself. Get over yourself. Hallelujah. All right, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. This helping you? It must be because it's real quiet. Y'all not hollering and shouting and, you know, and I know I'm doing some good. When I start hearing you go, oh, then I know I'm really doing some good. That's when Dr. Burr knows he's really working on you, you know, when you feel that? Yeah. And then you do it again. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, that's it right there. You know, he gets all excited. He found your pain. But then he can work on it, though. That's the whole thing. If he can... Hopefully, in a good way here, we'll find something here that, you know, wakes you up. Ow. Pull your toes back. Are you with me? Hey, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Now, we're talking conviction, not condemnation. Nobody's condemning anybody here, and nobody's got any stones to throw. Nobody's any better here than anybody else. But I tell you, every one of us can improve. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes we're in a sermon, we hear a sermon like this, and we hear things go, ooh, man, you know what? I need to work on that.
Uh-huh.
That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. That's what the word does rebuke. It does. But rebuke is not a hateful thing. Rebuke is a correction thing.
Yeah.
Rebuke is when it wakes us up and say, okay, yeah, you know what? I am getting a little too self-centered here. I'm spending too much of my time with me. I need to be... I don't know how disingenuous this sounds to you because I'm going to Hawaii tomorrow. But anyway... I'm thinking, boy, you could walk out of here and roast this preacher for lunch. But we don't do this often. Stay with me. And we are ministering when we go. Well, you got to help others. You got to reach others. Yeah, you're going to Hawaii, okay? Yeah. Okay. Stay with me. Okay. 2 Corinthians, first chapter. See, these are things I ask myself all the time. You know, not how many years I've been pastoring and how many sermons I could preach and how many scriptures I can quote and how much I know about this or that or whatever. But the question I ask myself is, am I making a difference? Am I helping anybody? Are we helping anybody? You know, it's not about just having a social club. Just getting people together, you know. And everybody just say hallelujah and amen every time we say something we agree with. You know, that's all well and good. But it's about training. It's about, we're here to be trained. When you think about it. We're here to wake up. To wake up. There's a world out here that needs Jesus. There's things that you and I can do to make a difference. You know, it's like the Hallelujah night. That whole thing was really birthed out of, you know, we just wanted to turn that thing around. You know, Halloween has become such an evil thing. And, you know, trick or treat, meaning vandalism. You know, vandalism just goes through the roof around towns at that time of year. And in a kind of a fun way, you know, you hear a lot about witches and demons and everything else. Well, you know, we can complain and gripe about that. Or we could say, hey, can we do something to change that? Are you with me? Can we do something to change that? And so that's what we did years and years ago. Kay Galloway and Brenda got together and we did we said, well, let's do a Hallelujah night. And I mean, we had like 300, 350 people. And we thought we had done it. I mean, that was awesome. We were so excited. We did it behind the building here. And we had like, 350 people showed up. It was unreal. We thought, whoa, this is awesome. Hallelujah. We're making a difference. Got kids off the street, told them about Jesus, gave them free candy and Coke, says, let's do it again next year. Next year we had 750 people. And we thought, this is amazing. Next year we did 1,500 people. And then we started shaking a little bit. And then it just went through the roof. We've had as many as 4,000 people. We run 2,500 to 3,000 to 4,000 people out here. But you know what? People hear about Jesus that night. People hear about Jesus. They get tracts and their sacks. And, you know, when they come in and all the music's about the Lord, all the booths are about Jesus, and the churches are starting to come together, running booths. And it's like a organ. It's like a union. We've united churches for a cause to make a difference. What traditionally was a bad night, we often hear people say, well, what are you all doing celebrating Halloween? We're not celebrating Halloween. We're taking it over. Now, you missed it. It's Hallelujah night. We have taken it over.
Amen.
Crime has gone down in our town. Absolutely gone down. The chief police have told us that on more than one occasion. In fact, they even put that in the paper one time, one year. The crime, vandalism, has gone down. That night, traditionally, which has been a lot of vandalism, a lot of crime, the crime rate went down over the years because of Hallelujah night on that night. Now, that's making a difference. People have gotten saved. We've had testimonies of people who accepted Jesus later, maybe, not even that night, but later on, get right with God. Wow. Now we're doing something. Now we're doing something. Now we're not just complaining. You know, I tell you, I just get so tired of armchair quarterbacks. And I are one myself. I mean, if I'd have been coaching, those Mavericks would be in that playoff, right? They would still be in. They wouldn't listen to me. No, your hat's got to be off to the guy out there on the court paying the price and working. We can complain and gripe, but those that row the boat don't have time to rock it. And so what God's calling us to do is get involved.
Amen.
He's calling us to do something, you know, do something. I just mentioned those things as a group. We can do that. And little things we can do, encouragement, calling people, lifting people, talking about Jesus on our job, and so on and so forth. And I'll tell you, this is good. I love this. 2 Corinthians. Found it?
Amen.
2 Corinthians, 1st chapter. 3rd verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now you know and I know, if you're going to live for God, you're going to go through some tribulation. You're going to go through some persecution. You're going to go through some of the sufferings of Christ. Sufferings of Christ were not poverty and sickness and disease, but it was persecution. It was reproach. That's what he's saying. The sufferings of Christ are just that. They were the sufferings of Christ. How do you handle that? Making that stand when everybody's making fun of you. How do you handle that? You know, when you've been persecuted for your faith and you're not part of the crowd and they're making fun of you, and yet God comes along, you pray, and he helps you. What do you do about that? You take that comfort, and you go help others serve God.
Amen.
Isn't that what it's saying? Who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Anybody ever been comforted? Well, you know, there's something we need to think about here. If I've been comforted, that is, of course, because God loves me and he's for me and I've prayed and I've asked him to help me. But also it's for me to take and help others with. Anybody ever been healed? I mean, that's a good one. You know what that's about? That's about you getting healed, no doubt about it, because God loves you and he's for you. But it's also for you to go share with others, hey, you know what? I went through that. God healed me. You can be healed. I mean, whatever it is that God's helped you with anything, I'm saved to serve, I'm gifted to give, I'm helped to help others. And I'll tell you what, that you start a process there that just keeps rolling, because if you give, it will be given to you. And it's a cycle that just doesn't stop. If you bless others, he'll continue to bless you. If you sow seed, then he'll give seed to the sower. Always fascinated me that he would say that way. God gives seed to sowers. Isaiah 55 tells us that. And 2 Corinthians 9 picks up on the same point. No, wait a minute. He gives seed to sowers. I thought it was God give me seed and I'll sow. God says go sow and I'll give you seed.
Yeah. Amen.
God doesn't give a seed to people who are not going to use it. He gives it to those that do use it. And it says give and it shall be given unto you. We're saying God give me something and I'll give. And God say give and I'll give to you. Notice it's backwards. Why is that? Because God's looking for people to give to. He's looking for people who sow to give seed to. And the more you start giving out everything you have from God, helping others, blessing others, you put others first, God will put you first. You make them your priority, God will make you His priority. That's just the process. That's the way it works here. Notice what it says here. You'll love this. Message translation. Again, I'm going to read that to you. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5 says, "All praise to the God and Father of our Master Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing, counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, He brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of His healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too." And why? So we can help others. You know, Jesus said it this way. He said, "Freely have you received, go enjoy it." Y'all out there? Freely you have received, freely give. Isn't that what He said? Of course you're going to enjoy it. You know, you're going to enjoy more the giving than the receiving. Freely you have received, freely give. As in Matthew 10:8. Luke 12, He says this, "To whom much is given, much is required." John Maxwell said this. He says, "When you light another's candle, you lose nothing of your own. You just produce more light." Isn't that true? Hallelujah. Sure is quiet in here today. So the more I give, the more I increase it. Yeah. See, I don't lose it. I increase it. And that's where the trouble comes. That covetousness, that greed, that holding on to this thing. If I give this away, I won't have anything. Well, Jesus says if you give it away, it'll be given to you.
Yeah.
If you give your life to helping others, you're going to have the best life you ever had.
Amen.
If you give your life to serving God, shining your light, and leading people to the Lord. You know, there's nothing greater than leading someone to the Lord. There is nothing to personally pray with someone to accept Jesus as Lord and to hear them receive Jesus and accept Jesus.
Amen.
Of all the things I do and have done all my life, those are the most precious times to me than anything I do. Man, I am on cloud nine. You have made my day when I get to lead someone to the Lord. Or help someone in any way. You know what I'm talking about. Is there a better feeling than helping somebody? Is there a better feeling than praying for someone, lifting someone, comforting someone that is going through a mess, and you got to help them? You know, I talk about that prayer that we pray, you know, in the church every day. In the office, we pray. We get together, we pray before we start the day. We not only pray, you know, "Lord, let us not forget why we do what we do, that everything we do comes down to people getting saved and coming to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ." But we also always pray, we always say this, "Lord, thank you for letting us be a part of what you're doing." Because it's an honor and it's a privilege to be a part of this thing. And God's calling us alongside Him, to work with Him, to be laborers together with God, to make a difference. See, and you can make a difference. You can change someone's life. You can lift someone. You can help someone.
Yeah. Amen.
This is good. I got a couple quotes here and we'll close this out. This helping you?
Yes,
sir. Okay. John D. Rockefeller Jr. said this. He said, "I believe that every right implies a responsibility, and every opportunity an obligation, and every possession a duty." I got something. I need to share it. Amen.
Yeah.
I have something. I need to help people with it. I'm in a position, and I'm in a position for a purpose. You're in a position with people. There are people that look up to you, people in your circle, you know, that you have influence with. It's all about influence, but influence for a reason, for a purpose. Winston Churchill said, "It's not enough that we do our best. Sometimes we have to do what's required."
Yeah.
Y'all think about that one. And I'll close out with this one. Y'all getting this?
Amen.
I know you are because you're so quiet. Thinking it through. John Maxwell is another John Maxwell quote here. It says, "You cannot contribute to something significant without being changed. If you want to be better than you are, become part of something bigger than you are. See, you can't help others without helping yourself. You can't lead others to the Lord and pray for others and lift others without blessing your own life. And not to sound greedy or sound self-centered, but if you really care about yourself and you really want to have a good life, here's what you need to do. Give yourself to others. And of course, I'm talking about in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about, you know, I'm not talking about just be nice and be kind. I'm talking about pray for people and lead people to the Lord and help people and do what you do to support people. You know, people that need some physical work. Help them. Help them if you can. You say, I don't know what I can do. Well, you can bake a cake or you can make banana pudding. I like banana pudding. I mean, you can call someone, you can do something, you know. But think about your life and think about, what am I doing to make a difference? And if you can't really point to anything, then say, God, help me make a difference. Show me things I can do. Put people on my heart. Put things on my heart that I can do for the gospel, for the kingdom. Because it's only what we do for Christ that's going to last. Amen? Yeah. That's it. Everything else is sinking sand. This life is short. It is flying by here so fast, man. I just get spun around half the time thinking about how fast it's going. I mean, I all the time I'm thinking, already? Already? You know, something, some date's coming. I'm thinking, oh, you got to be kidding. Already? It's going faster and faster and faster. And only what I do for Jesus is going to last. That's all. And it's the only thing that puts purpose in my life.